Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Back at it here on a Wednesday evening. 1 hour done, one more to go here on KMOX. We're going to be joined by John Denton in about 15 minutes. We'll talk all things Cardinals baseball with the MLB.com beat writer covering the Cardinals. And then also later on this hour, we're going to hear from Christopher Bell. Tom Ackerman got the chance to catch up with the NASCAR driver earlier today. Of course, they'll be running Worldwide Technology Raceway this upcoming weekend. Both the Cup Series and the trucks are going to be in action. One of my things that I get frustrated about is when we see the NCAA doing dumb things, and when we see the NCAA doing things that is not equitable. And I guess in many ways, college sports, not everybody is alike, not everybody's treated the same, not everybody has the same status within the NCAA. But I got frustrated by something, and this is the maybe not many people are going to be overly worried about this. It's caught some attention. So the way the NCAA baseball tournament works is you have teams that are hosting regionals. So the top 16 teams get the opportunity to host regionals. Now, you still have to have all the infrastructure to be able to host said regional. And the University of Kentucky is hosting a regional this weekend. Now, in the Lexington, Kentucky area, there is a lot going on this weekend. The Railbird Music Festival is going on. According to the report, that is a massive event that's going to be headlined by country music stars Tyler Childers and Zach Bryan. They also have state high school playoffs going on for softball, baseball, and track and field. And then there is the Great American Brass Band Festival going on in nearby Danville. That draws more than 40,000 people each year. Matt Pajeski, I could see you enjoying yourself at the Great American Brass Band Festival.
You could?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could.
You're a music guy. You like
I do like
different types of music. And
I don't know if I like brass band, though.
Okay. I don't know. Just thought I hear that. I go, you know what? I could see Matt Pajeski making a trip to Danville, Kentucky for the Great American Brass Band Festival. 40,000 people show up for it. That's a lot of people.
Do they?
That, well, according to the report. So let's get to the point here. As much as we'd love to spend some time talking about the Great American Brass Band Festival here on Sports Open Line, because of this, there is a limited availability of hotel rooms within 30 miles of campus. And part of the requirements to host NCAA events is the fact is that you have to have hotel rooms, and you have to have all these things available for the visiting teams that come in. And I'm a big believer in experiences for student athletes. It's one of the reasons that when it comes to conference tournaments in college basketball, I'd love to see all conferences allow all teams into their conference tournaments because it's an experience, the chance to play in games that really matter. I love when it comes to student athletes, and maybe this is kind of a utopian way of looking at things, but I'm a big, I love the bowl system. People laugh at me because I love the bowl system because you're sending people to Boise, Idaho to play in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl or whatever it is. Well, you know what? There's a bunch of seniors who are never going to play football again, who get to go play in a bowl game, and their parents get to come watch the bowl game, and they get to get the swag bags and all that sort of stuff. It's part of the student-athlete experience. So as much as I do want to see a college football playoff, I don't want to mess with the bowl system beyond the fact that there's going to be some of the teams that would have been participating in it won't be in it because they'll be in the college football playoff. I like the experiences, the feeling of being part of something that is important. And part of that is the accommodations. And this is where I get frustrated with the NCAA. So in addition to the host team Kentucky, West Virginia, Indiana, and Ball State are going to be in Lexington for this regional. And there is no hotel rooms available anywhere near Lexington. The closest hotel rooms that are available are in Louisville. So that's about an hour away. It takes about an hour to get from Louisville to Lexington. And teams don't want to be on a bus for an hour going into that. That you don't really feel like you're part of something either. So what Kentucky has done is they are going to utilize dorm rooms on the Kentucky campus. Dorm rooms. Now, the school says that these dorms are not actually dorms, that they're closer to apartment-like suites that, quote, rival any hotel accommodation the team might have had if rooms are available. So a spokesperson for Matt May told ESPN, there's a great deal of stuff going on in Lexington. Massive music festival, state high school baseball, softball and track on campus, on and on and on. Says this has been known for months and all checkpoints with the NCAA both addressed and met to their satisfaction. Our bid was up front from the very beginning. Here's what I would say to the NCAA. Have some guts. If this is supposed to be about the student athletes, and it would really stink for Kentucky, like there's no way for this to be completely equitable. Because if you take the regional out of Lexington, it hurts the athletes at Kentucky because they just put together one heck of a season. They're a top 16 seed. They have played for the right to host. But student athlete experience, NCAA tournament, most of these kids are going to be playing baseball for the final time ever in their career. And they're stuck staying in these dorm rooms that Kentucky officials are trying to tell you are more like a hotel. It's not. It's lost the feeling of it. And I think it takes away from the student athlete experience. I'm sorry that Kentucky put themselves in a position where they're in a geographic location with a lot going on. If they thought they were going to have this good of a baseball team going in, well, go reserve the rooms that are needed and be on the line for that money. They're an SEC school. They are swimming in money. Probably would take 90 hotel rooms or so to be ready to bring these teams in. Go be ready to hand. Maybe it's 100. I don't know. It's a lot of hotel rooms. But go be ready to have all these hotel rooms available and good to go and just have money down on them and have them committed to the potential of hosting an NCAA baseball regional. And do that months ago. They say that this is something that they have been working on for months. You're telling me that months and months ago, the University of Kentucky couldn't have found a way to secure these hotel rooms? No. This is a last-minute thing. This is putting student-athletes second. This is something that they're doing to try to find a way to finagle their way into continuing to host. And what the NCAA would do, if the NCAA had any guts whatsoever, they would go to Kentucky and say, no, you can't host. You don't have what we require. Because the NCAA bylaws require that you have hotel accommodations available for all the teams that are going to be coming in. And now the NCAA is saying, oh, well, this works. This works. No, it doesn't work. By the book, by the rule, it doesn't work. I don't know. I get frustrated about these things with the NCAA because so often we see the student athlete being put second, and I read this story. You know, go to Louisville. Louisville's an hour away. I'm sure there's a. I'm sure they would be willing to host for it if you paid for it there. There's other things. It isn't even where you would have to hand this off to another one of these four schools that are there. There's just something better that they could do, but the NCAA continues to show that they have absolutely no spine whatsoever, and this is another example of that. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, John Denton is going to join us. John covers the Cardinals for MLB.com and Cardinals.com. We'll get his thoughts on where the team sits right now going into these back-to-back off days. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line. My name is Matt Pauly. It's KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm Miles Michaelis, and you're listening to Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Miles Michaelis has put 8 zeros on the board. A terrific performance for Miles. Career high in strikeouts with 10. 8 innings of work for Miles. And no runs allowed and just 3 hits. Outstanding for Miles Michaelis.
Outstanding indeed yesterday for Michaelis. He followed up a 7-inning scoreless outing with an 8-inning scoreless outing yesterday, and he is more than rounding into form. He's clearly the top pitcher in the Cardinals rotation right now. Cardinals just got done playing 19 straight games, and to talk about the club, we're very happy to welcome on my friend. He covers the Cardinals for MLB.com and Cardinals.com. You follow him on Twitter at John Denton 555. He is John Denton. Hey, John.
Hey, Matt. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for taking some time with us today on an off day. What did you make of what Michaelis was not just able to do yesterday, but really you look at his last two appearances in a time where the Cardinals have needed that from the rotation? Length and performance, he's given them both in each of those last two outings.
Yeah, that was a couple of really gutsy performances, Matt. You know, I mean, Mal said that there's nothing in this game that gives him more pleasure than being a stopper for the Cardinals, like being that man when the team needs you, when you're staring at losing a series in Cincinnati and Miles goes out there and gives you 7 scoreless innings, when you're coming off a bad loss on Monday, you almost had a perfect game thrown against you on Monday, Miles comes back and puts up 8 zeros. He probably would have pitched all 9 innings if he hadn't been getting a blister on one of his fingers. That was gutsy stuff. And, you know, he's pitching as well as anybody in the league right now. They've won his last five starts. Miles is 4-0 in his last nine starts. It's really good to see, and it's something that the staff really needed, a guy they can really lean on in times when they need a victory.
When the club was in spring training and all the guys were participating in the WBC, the narrative was how good it was that those guys were there, that they were playing in games that mattered, so on and so forth. But then, you know, Michaelis has the slow start, and then since he's gone going, we've kind of heard rumblings that maybe he was a little bit behind and didn't have command of all of his pitches, and that can be connected to him being in the WBC. How much impact do you think the World Baseball Classic did have on his slow start?
Yeah, you know, Matt, of all the 17 guys that the Cardinals sent to the WBC, I think it affected Miles the most. We all know he's not a strikeout pitcher last night withstanding. He's a guy who depends on being able to throw all five pitches at any time in the count. He depends on location. He depends on mixing speeds. Going off to the WBC, he started the one exhibition game. I think he started one game in the WBC, and then he was used out of the bullpen the other couple times. So it really messed up his rhythm. And, you know, those first three starts of the season, his ERA was over 10. That was probably like a mini spring training for him. But since then, those next nine starts, I mean, he's got a 2.11 ERA over the next nine. So he's a completely different pitcher, first three starts as opposed to the last nine starts. And, you know, I really think that the WBC had a lot to do with that.
It's not apples to apples because Wainwright was used in a little bit of a different way in the WBC than Michaelis, but could the same thing potentially be happening with Wainwright, where we're going to get a couple more weeks down the road and maybe he's rounded into form and it looks kind of similar to what happened with Michaelis?
Yeah, you know, Waino keeps saying, he's like, one of these days everything's going to change for him and people are going to say, wow, what are you doing different? And there's nothing he's really doing different. He said he's got to get luckier in some chances. And, you know, he's given up the two out hits right now. In Cincinnati, there were a couple instances where he would get two outs early in the inning, he'd give up a bloop single, and then a double and a run would score. I think he had two runners score from first base in Cincinnati. You know, we all know how crazy that ballpark is. And Waino said it's just going to come down to some bounces going his way, getting out of some jams. Good stuff happening. We've kind of seen things turn with the Cardinals. He really thinks he's a lot closer than maybe the numbers look right now.
So the Cardinals had the really bad start, and then they went on a really nice run and knocked down their deficit in the division by about five games. And they've kind of been treading water over the last week. They lost 2 of 3 to Cleveland. They split with Kansas City. How much is that them coming back to earth, and how much of that is them being impacted by the 19 games in 19 days?
Yeah, I think that was a big part of it, Matt. I mean, you know, if this team showed the potential that it can have. You go to Wrigley and win 2 out of 3. You go to Fenway and sweep them. Then you come home and take 5 out of 7 against Milwaukee and the Dodgers. I mean, that's an impressive stretch. That's four of the best teams you'll see in the National League, outside of the Braves. But, I think that showed this team their potential. You know, was the last week frustrating to lose two games of the Reds, to lose two games of the Indians, and lose a game to the Royals? Of course it was frustrating. But to come out of a 19-game stretch 12-7, I think it's pretty impressive. I think it turned around the season. I think it showed this team what it's capable of when it's firing on all cylinders. And I think you'll see a fresh, revived club on Friday when we get to Pittsburgh.
John Denton covers the Cardinals for MLB.com. He's continuing to join us here on a Graybar Sports Open Line. That fifth spot in the rotation still kind of up for grabs. It'll either be Matthew Liberatore or Steven Matz, it would seem. Between the two, it feels like Matz might be the guy who could give them something extra out of the bullpen. How do you expect this to play out?
Yeah, you know, Matz's outing the other day out of the bullpen was not bad. And his velo was up. He hit 96, 97 a couple times. He had four strikeouts. He did hit a couple of batters, but part of that was by design. He was saying in Cincinnati that he's got to pitch inside to be effective. I think right now that Steven Matz is better in short bursts. He kind of gets exposed when he has to pitch over multiple innings. And Matthew Liberatore has earned this. You know, he pitched well in his first outing against the Brewers. And then he goes out there the other day and against the Indians, has one bad inning. You know, otherwise he pitched really well. I really think that Liberatore has earned this spot as the fifth starter. And then you use Matt's out of the bullpen. You know, they only have one lefty out of the bullpen right now, so they actually are in need of a left-hander out of the bullpen. So I would reckon that Matthew Liberatore is going to get that fifth start.
How much leash do you give him? Because when you've got young guys coming up, there's going to be some days that you're just not on, that you're just not very good. Is it a situation where he's got to be told, hey, this is your spot in the rotation, just go pitch, where if all of a sudden he has one of those tough nights, he's not looking over his shoulder worried that maybe he's lost his job?
Yeah, you know, he's in a tough spot right now, because I really thought it was almost unfair what they did to him. You know, he started a game, pitched really well, and then all of a sudden he kind of had the starter position jerked from him. He had to work out of the bullpen a couple days, but Ollie Marmol said, hey, we can't sacrifice the health of our bullpen just so that one guy can get a start. You know, the bullpen got used quite a bit over that long stretch, so they needed him to help, you know, free up the bullpen a little bit. Was it fair to Matthew Liberatore? Of course not. But, you know, when you're that 26th man on the roster, when you're that young guy, 23 years old, sometimes you just have to fill roles. And that's, you know, kind of the roles that they used him in at the time. But I really hope that he can get a run of, you know, 2-3 starts in a row without having to bounce back and forth between the starting rotation and the bullpen. Because I think you could really see his potential as a starter if he can get in that groove of, you know, 2 or 3 starts in a row.
John, I'm really good at looking too deep into things and reading too much into something that's not actually there. But
that's how I make a living.
when we found out who the Cardinals representatives on the All-Star ballot were today, there's times where a starting player is on the injured list and he's still on the ballot. That's a very normal, very standard thing. Yet you look at the outfield spots for the Cardinals, and Tommy Edman and Brendan Donovan are on there. For Donovan, okay, I get it. You got to find a spot for him somewhere if it's not going to be DH. But you have Tommy Edman in that spot as well. If you're Tyler O'Neill, if you're Dylan Carlson, it just feels kind of odd that neither one of those guys is in that spot.
Yeah, it really is, you know, and it says a lot about the state of, you know, where those guys stand in the organization. I mean, Tyler O'Neill is at a standstill. It's at least the third time that they've had to shut him down with his back injury. They keep saying that there's a strain. There have been multiple tests. There's no showing of any structural damage. So right now, you know, it's really an odd situation. You kind of wonder what's going on there. But who would have guessed that, you know, coming off of 2021, when Tyler O'Neill finished eighth in the National League in MVP voting, that we would be at this spot? You know, last season was bad. You thought maybe, hey, it's just a blip. But now here we are, you know, another year later going through the same injury thing. And I really think Dylan Carlson's close to getting back. I think he's going to probably start a rehab assignment in the minor leagues, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday. Take a couple days, and I think he'll be back with the Cardinals. I'm one of those guys. I'm bullish on Dylan Carlson. I think the Cardinals are at their best when he's their center fielder and Lars Nootbaar can play one of the corner spots, because there's not a better defensive center fielder on this team than Dylan Carlson. So I'm a Dylan Carlson backer, and I think he can come back and get his spot back in the rotation.
The way the roster is constructed right now, they're stuck doing some weird things, because you got to have Nolan Gorman in the lineup every day, so he's going to be at second a fair amount. Paul DeJong had been performing until the last week or so, but a lot of guys didn't perform for the last week when the team was hitting like 180. So he's going to be over at shortstop. Obviously, you know what's going at third and first and catcher. So all of a sudden, you've got Tommy Edman, you've got Brendan Donovan. Yeah, you might have a DH, but it's not easy to find at bats and find spots for those guys at the moment.
Yeah, it's definitely not. And, I mean, where would this team be without Brendan Donovan and Tommy Edman? I mean, they take, you know, utility to a new level. I mean, Tommy hadn't started in center field, three times in his career, started the other night. You know, he wore the pitch com. He worked with Willie McGee before the game. I mean, that's a guy whose baseball IQ is just off the charts. You can tell him to do anything. He's willing and able to do anything. He's so valuable to this team. And then Brendan Donovan's the same way. You know, he throws out the runner at home last night. where would this team be? You know, if you were without those two guys, the two outfielders, Dylan Carlson and Tyler O'Neill, and you didn't have two super utility guys like that, you know, you would really be at a fix right now. So they've kind of bailed this team out.
I don't think anybody would be mad at Tommy Edman for being frustrated with the situation. You go into the year penciled in as the starting shortstop, and you turn into a kind of a utility guy playing all over. That's certainly not what he thought it was going to be this year.
Yeah, I could totally see Tommy frustrated, but that's just not in his DNA. You know, I think Tommy knows his value to this team, and I think Ollie Marmol conveys that. I think Mo conveys that to him regularly. I thought he was the third most important player on this team last year behind Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado. You know, Tommy's coming up on a payday, and you hope that he gets rewarded. You know, shortstops get paid a lot of money, but he may be even more valuable to this team as a super utility who can play short, who can play second, who can play any of the three outfield spots.
He is John Denton. You read him at Cardinals.com. You've got the newsletter. What's the way that people subscribe to that?
You can just go on MLB.com and click on your favorite team, and you know, the newsletter comes out every Thursday and every Monday, twice a week. We kind of, you know, try to show players the other side, you know, away from the field, show some personality, things like that. So it's really gone over well. I've gotten a lot of great feedback from Cardinal fans.
John, always appreciate it, and enjoy the trip to Pittsburgh. We'll see you back in St. Louis real soon.
Sounds great, Matt. Thanks so much.
You bet. There's John Denton joining us, covers the Cardinals for MLB.com. All right, we'll take a break. We will return, and we will hear Tom Ackerman. He is going to have a conversation coming up in just a few moments with Christopher Bell, who's going to be racing this weekend at Worldwide Technology Raceway. That's coming up in just a moment on Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Goldschmidt swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Tom Ackerman back with you. Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. And joining us, driving the number 20 DeWalt Toyota, Joe Gibbs Racing. Great to have Christopher Bell back on KMOX. I know the folks in Oklahoma listen to KMOX. I know that for a fact, because that is Cardinals country. How are you, Christopher?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tom?
Doing great. Really looking forward to this race. Enjoy Illinois 300. At last check, tickets were dwindling down to about nothing. No surprise, another sellout approaching in St. Louis. What did you think of last year?
Yeah, I thought WWT Raceway was an amazing venue to go to, and I was very happy that they added it to this Cup schedule. It had been several years since I competed in the Truck Series there, and that was on the old surface. And now with the repave, it really has made it a world-class facility and a place where we put on a great race last year, and I think it'll be an even better race this year.
Yeah, you finished ninth, a top 10 finish in that race, and it was competitive from start to finish for sure. And just to describe the track to people who have not been, and I know we always have first timers coming through, it's a little different. I mean, it's hard to describe. It's not a short track. It's not your traditional oval. What would you compare it to?
Yeah, really, there is nothing else out there that's like it. You have turns one and two, which is very sharp. And then three and four is a very wide sweeping corner. You know, I think the asphalt really relates to the Phoenix Raceway, but the shape does not at all. So it's really one of a kind, and that's what makes it so much fun, because there's nothing else out there that prepares us for this race. You can't look at any notes from any other racetrack. So it really is a one-off race that you don't know who could win.
Christopher, you had such a great 22 too. You finished strong. You finished third in that championship race, and then finished third in Daytona to start this year. And speaking of short tracks, one at Bristol in the dirt race I'll talk about your dirt racing career here in just a moment, but how would you describe 23 so far? I mean, we know what a great car you have, great team, great driver. Do you feel good about it? Are you underwhelmed, disappointed with anything? How do you see it all?
Yeah, I think that the performance as a whole has been pretty good. You know, most of the time when we go to the racetrack, I feel like we're fast and competitive and running where we need to be running, but we're having a hard time putting all the pieces of the puzzle together to get the finishes that we deserve. So with that being said, it hasn't been a bad year by any means, but I feel like we've left a lot out on the table. So hopefully we can clean up these details before we get deeper on into the season, whenever the playoffs start. And it would be awesome if we could rack up, you know, a couple more playoff points at WWT Raceway. It's a place where I think my team, the 20 car, should be able to win. It's a huge race for us, having DeWalt on the car, very big market for them. So I know it would be really special to get the DeWalt yellow back in victory lane.
Yeah, it's a great racing community. I think personally, I feel like a lot of people pull for you. One, I mentioned Oklahoma, and I know that, you know, being a Midwest guy, but I've always looked at you as like the driver's driver. You know, you have driven at just about every level. Winning the Chili Bowl doesn't hurt. Anybody who's in racing loves that, and you did it three times. And, you know, that was an exciting thing, I know, for you. But, you know, driving on dirt, driving in different tracks, driving in different cars, that's always been part of your passion. Do you feel like people relate to that?
You know, I've tried to kind of sell myself as being just a race car driver. You know, I'm not a NASCAR driver. I'm not a dirt track racer. I'm just a race car driver. I'll run them all. And over the course of the last, I don't know, 12, 24 months, I haven't been able to race as much dirt as I would probably like to. But, you know, my NASCAR Cup career has really started to take off. And especially last year, you know, getting to that next level of competing for a championship, you know, being a factor of winning races week in and week out. That's really what I've turned my focus to. So hopefully, you know, I can start getting the victory lane a little bit more often. Only one win this year is not where we want to be at this point. But yeah, I mean, I think we've been close, and hopefully I can win races for the, you know, the all my supporters and the dirt community out there.
It becomes also, you know, you're a businessman too. There's so much to oversee, isn't it, when it comes to driving at this level?
Yeah, it's quite a bit more than just sitting behind the steering wheel.
Yeah, no question. You know, I cover sports for a living, and, you know, watching, whether it's baseball or basketball or hockey or golf or you name it, it is a grind. How do you, from week to week, you know, keep yourself, just try to keep yourself balanced emotionally, you know, not to be let down?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely need to cherish the highs. You know, that's a very important piece of the puzzle, because in this sport, there's not very many of them. You're not going to win very many races. But with that being said, the low moments, you got to push them out, and you can't dwell on them. You can't, you know, let that affect your next race, because, you know, ultimately the only thing that you can control is what's coming up next. So got to put your best foot forward all the time and not let those bad moments take you down.
Christopher Bell is with us. What was Daytona like from your perspective? I mean, you were that close to climbing the Great American Race.
I would have loved to seen it go green, that's for sure. I felt like I was in a good spot to race for the win coming to the checkered flag, but you know, there's a huge crash, so I wasn't in the cards this year. But it was my best race to date, so I was really happy to get out of Daytona with a great finish. We had a great start to the point season, and, you know, hopefully we can keep it going. Winning that regular season title would be a huge accomplishment for me, and definitely a big help for the playoffs going forward. So we got off to a good start at Daytona, and hopefully we can keep it rolling.
Talk through sports fans who are coming to this race for the first time and what it's like as a spectator to watch 40 cars blowing by you at 170 miles per hour.
Yeah, I mean, Gateway is just a place that you can't just watch a race on TV and expect that to be what you're going to see at WWT Raceway. So, you know, nothing that you've seen on Sundays or any other NASCAR race is going to be what you see at WWT Raceway. And, you know, just being there to experience the noise, the you know, the fumes, the smell, the sights, the speed of the cars. It truly is an experience that you need to, you know, at least do once in your life.
Now, you're very focused, as are all drivers, trying to win and when it's race day. But I know you're also aware of the access that the fans have, and I'm sure keeping an eye out for them too. It is pretty cool, isn't it, how this sport has given fans that kind of access?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very unique. I'm a sports fan too. You know, I go to basketball games and football games, and if you want an autograph, they're pretty hard to come by with those other sports. But the NASCAR scene, you can, I think you can pretty much get right up to the drivers, and you know, you can walk away with several autographs if you want.
Yeah, it won't be too bad either seeing Dierks Bentley close the thing out. I know it'd be even sweeter if you're in victory lane after all that. It's going to be hot too. I know that won't bother you. You've raced in all temperatures, but what is it like? I guess my final thing for you, knowing now for sure that we're going to be in the mid 90s in the middle of the afternoon, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, it makes it a little bit tougher in the car, but one thing that I do like about the heat is that it makes the track really slippery. And typically whenever the track is slippery, it creates better racing because you're able to pass guys a little bit easier. So 90 degree weather is not the worst thing to happen.
Christopher, always great to see you and talk to you. Thank you again for joining us this year on KMOX as you get ready to race in Madison, Illinois, St. Louis, 5 minutes from the Arch in the Enjoy Illinois 300.
Have a good day.
This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Back at it on a Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Just a couple of things I wanted to mention real quick before we get out of here, and I've alluded to a few of them during the program. College basketball news. We learned that Kobe Brown's going to stay in the NBA draft. He is probably going to be a second rounder, so he will not return to Mizzou. We also found out that C.J. Nolan, a former Oklahoma basketball player who had been set to transfer into SLU, is now not going to transfer into SLU. And the Toronto Maple Leafs, they have a new general manager, meaning Doug Armstrong is going to stick around with the St. Louis Blues. Also wanted to mention this. This just came out in the last hour or so. Someone from the local sports community has had a huge impact on a lot of sports fans is making the decision to call it a career. We found out just a little while ago that the longtime radio voice of Southern Illinois, Mike Reese, he has made the decision to retire. I just saw this on social media. He's been a guest on this program before. He's as good as they come, and best of luck to him as he goes in to his retirement. We talk about all the great broadcasters throughout the region, and Mike certainly is that. So congratulations going out to Saluki Radio play-by-play man Mike Reese as he gets set for retirement. Just learned about that a little while ago. I'll be done in a few moments, which means at your service, and that means our good friend Brad Young is going to be on from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. He graces us with his presence for a few minutes first. Hi, Brad.
Matt, it's interesting. You mentioned, first of all, good evening. It's good to see you. But you mentioned Carbondale. I went to undergrad in Carbondale. And so I got to listen to basketball, and I follow the Salukis quite a bit. But I always like to mention that I have the distinction of having the most unique mascots because I went to Carbondale for my undergrad.
Okay, Saluki.
Went to law school at SLU. So Billiken, I've got a Billiken and a Saluki as my mascots. That's pretty unique.
As proud as I am of my my allegiance to Kansas State University, Wildcat is not overly creative or unique.
But if you think about it, if a Billiken got into a fight with a Saluki, you know, neither are very fierce, but there's nothing about a Saluki that to me looks ferocious.
Yeah, and I feel like the Billiken, I feel like, has mystical powers as well.
Well, it could be.
Yeah.
Could be, but
snapping fingers, making things disappear. I don't know.
A flying on a magic carpet or something. I don't know. But a Saluki is just a big, fluffy greyhound is really what it is. And cute, lovable.
Fast.
Not fierce.
Yeah. So maybe not the ability to win a fight, but the ability to get away from said fight.
Well, you know, most of the 4 years that I was in Carbondale in the 80s, that's basically what they did in every sport is they retreated, which isn't really a great thing to have in your sports teams.
All right. So no, it's not. It's certainly not. I got to throw this at you. Sports producer extraordinaire Matt Pajeski and I have been having a conversation during our commercial breaks for the better part of the last hour. He thinks I'm crazy, so we're going to find out your thoughts.
I think you're crazy, too. But Pajeski, I agree with you. I don't even know the question.
All right, done for the day. Your service is on the way next.
No, fire away.
This is a look into my sleeping habits.
Okay.
All right. Every night of the year, 365 nights a year, I sleep in a hoodie. And more often than not, I'm also in sweatpants. Sometimes I wear shorts.
Do you wear a hoodie in case you have the urge to knock off a liquor store?
I do not.
Oh, okay. Just wondering.
I mean, I do sleepwalk, so maybe that could happen. I'm an interesting sleeper, to be sure. He thinks it's insane that I wear a hoodie every single night of the year when I sleep. Do you think that is as crazy as he thinks?
I wouldn't put it in the crazy category.
Matt?
Odd, yes. Particularly in the summer. I mean, in the winter.
Yes.
Now, listen, I'm a follically challenged guy, okay? I can see the advantage of wearing a hoodie when it's cold. I can see that. But both Matts here in the studio, you guys have luscious, beautiful heads of hair.
Thank you.
And so I don't really see the need for it. It really sounds like, and I'm putting on my Dr. Phil glasses because Dr. Phil is a large, bald man with a mustache, and I can relate to that.
Okay.
So as I'm putting that on, does that come from a sense of insecurity that perhaps as a child something happened that made you feel insecure, and being wrapped in the comfortableness of a hoodie gives you that relaxation necessary to drift off into blissful slumber? How close am I?
I don't know. I'm stuck on those words. Yeah, you've blown my mind.
I need to send you a bill for this analysis.
So, in all seriousness, I hate the feeling of stuff on my arms. Like it can be a 90 degree day, and if I'm walking down the street and there's a slight breeze, and I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt, I would much rather be wearing a jacket and be warm in that moment because of how much I hate the feeling of wind up against my arm. So maybe it's connected to that. Maybe rolling around in my sleep a little bit, I don't want the comforter going up against my arms. I don't know.
I like my...
I like yours better.
Lack of... Yeah, a problem with security.
This is... this one I know is weird. This I won't run away from this. My wife sleeps under the sheets and the comforters and everything, like a normal person will. I then sleep on top of all that stuff and have my own comforter that I put over just me. So my wife and I are not under the same sheets and comforters and stuff. She's under one group and I'm under another group, but her thing still goes all the way across the bed. So like if I roll over, it pulls the comfort. It's horrible for her.
Yes.
She lives, being married to me is challenging in a good number of ways, but the sleeping habits adds to it.
Well, here's the question, though. If you don't like the feeling of anything, why doesn't the hoodie qualify as something on your skin that bothers you?
That's a great question. I don't know. Same thing. Like I am wearing a jacket right now. Yeah. What's the temperature? It is currently 83 degrees outside. I am currently wearing a jacket. I will wear this jacket out tonight, and I don't get bothered by the feeling of the jacket on my arms, but if there were to be a slight breeze, it would bother me.
I have no explanation for that.
What's on at your service tonight?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about the debt ceiling deal. I'm going to interview some folks about that. We're going to talk to the owner of Ted Drews tonight.
My wife just had Ted Drews for the first time ever in the last week.
And wasn't it a magnificent experience?
It was awesome. Took our daughter as well.
Oh, it's great.
Parked in the bank parking lot across
been
the street.
There many times.
Opened up the back of the SUV. We sat down, had ourselves a little Ted Drews picnic.
And right next to Ted Drews, there's the Ted Drews Museum.
Yeah, and the gift shop museum.
Gift shop, go in there. Charlie Brennan's picture is up on the wall in there.
I didn't go in there, so I'll have to go in there and see Charlie Brennan's picture.
We're going to be doing that. Also, today is Clint Eastwood's 93rd birthday. So during the show tonight, we're going to be playing some clips from Clint Eastwood movies, those that are my favorite, of course. And we're also going to be taking calls on favorite Clint Eastwood movies.
Okay. That's good. I don't know. I mean, I'm a little bit younger than you, so some of his like old classics are not. What's the movie where he's the boxing trainer?
Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Yeah, he did a magnificent job with that. I always liked the Dirty Harry movies,
right?
And the spaghetti westerns I watched as a kid.
What's the one where he's in kind of like a bad, lives in bad area and, you know, the get off my lawn one, and then he's a super tough guy.
Yeah, that's the one in Detroit. That's
Gran Torino. Yeah, that's, I like that movie. That's good. So I like more of his more recent stuff. But
we're going to be talking some old school Clint Eastwood tonight.
My dad always told me when I started in radio, if anybody ever calls up and says, play Misty for me,
that's a
really bad thing.
It's a great movie, though.
Okay. So I learned that very. I was working overnight shifts as a high schooler. My dad was like, somebody calls and says, play Misty for me.
Run.
Get away from the windows. All right, that is it. We've got At Your Service with Brad Young. That is on the way next. I'll talk to you again tomorrow night for another edition of Sports Open Line, a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.